Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 30 of From Long Distance to Marriage. I cannot believe we've done this 30 times.
We haven't, we've done it 29 and we're now on 30.
Well, we're doing it for the 30th.
Yeah. It's been good.
You have a thing about counting.
What do you mean?
Like, you like knowing how many times we've done things.
You mean sex?
Yeah, like...
I do wish I'd kept the
like, log. Every, like... I feel like maybe we've talked about this in the podcast, but every, like... I don't know, at least once a year, he'll be like, I just want to know how many times we've done it. Like, I wish I'd been counting.
Yeah, I wish we'd... Like, you know how you, like, you have workout login apps.
Because there blatantly is a sex bot. You could just log it as a workout.
Yeah, but I want to know the number.
Yeah, but do it and, like, as a sex workout.
Even if I started now, I've missed the first
8 years. Well, that's just because you're shit.
You didn't do it either. But yeah, so we know the number of this.
Yeah, because it's on every episode. So this is episode 30, and this week we're going to be talking about that difficult period between visits. Someone messaged us.
Well, we put a poll up on Instagram asking what you guys wanted us to talk about, and this is one of the responses. We'll touch on the others in future episodes as well, but if anyone's sort of new to us, we take requests, and we like to talk about the questions that we receive.
So. Oh, and the ones we like, though.
And the ones we like, yeah. But if you have any, yeah, send us a message, send us an email.
Yeah. So I think this person...
We've done a lot of requests lately.
Yeah, kind of.
Last week was a request.
Yeah, we've done a few now. And it's just really nice because it gets us talking to, you know, the community and our listeners, which we love. And we love hearing about people's stories and what they're going through. And actually this morning we woke up to a nice message from someone who's been listening to us, well, early on. I think we started talking to him early this year. He's a younger guy, lives in California, which, what up, California? Anyways, yeah, he messaged us and he had started talking to a girl in New Zealand. I think kind of end of last year, kind of end of 2018. And he just kind of kept us updated with where they are and, you know, the kind of normal things that long-distance couples go through. And anyways, we had a message that he's got a ticket to go out and see her at the end of the year. And she might be coming out to see him this summer. So it's just always really nice to see that progression. And we hope that goes really well for you. You know who you are.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but we love hearing that people's long-distance relationships are progressing. And we can really think back and remember, oh, yep, I remember when we were going through that, and we can relate to everything that kind of, all those feelings that come with it, really.
Yeah, and we hope our experiences can help.
That's why we're here. But yeah, so the person that messaged us asking about this, from what I understand, it was their first meeting, the person who wanted to talk about how to deal between visits and kind of all the emotions and struggles.
Yeah, and more specifically, how you deal between visits when you don't know when the next visit will be. And it's a mindset shift when before you meet for the first time, that's its own little bubble. Like, that is the relationship and you want to move it on, but equally there's something quite at home about how that feels. Meeting for the first time completely changes that, and suddenly you know what that's like. You've had additional experiences, and then, the thing is, before you meet, no one's taken that away from you.
Yeah.
So, all right, yeah, you may lose your phone for an hour or whatever like that, but that relationship...
You may lose your phone for an hour.
Yeah, you may lose your phone, you may not be able to access it for an hour, and you can't talk to them for a little bit, but, you know, no one... You know the boundaries of that relationship, and everything you know it to be is there. It's its own little bubble. But then once you meet for the first time, then you get separated again.
Yeah, everything shifts.
Everything shifts, and you know what you're missing, and you're now being deprived of some company, and you've got the memories that you've just made and the experiences that you've had together.
Yeah, I think that the struggles to start with can be very external, and that, like, people don't understand why are you talking to this person? They're far, far away. Like, you don't know what it's going to be like, and blah, blah, blah. And then you're also kind of dealing with a mystery, like, oh, are we going to like each other as much as in person? But it is a very exciting, mysterious time.
Well, and because of all that, the when you meet, it's quite intense.
It is.
Because you've got so much built up already, and if you're in the situation where people are critical of it, then suddenly you're quite bonded. It's an us versus them mentality that you've
got. Yeah, but I think also, like, once you
and
have...
And you've got that mystery and excitement that you said and the apprehension and you're counting down to meet. Like, it all builds up to a very big, like, emotional output.
Yeah, but what I was trying to say... Mr. Beryl.
Go on, crack on.
Yeah, so yeah, once you've met, it does shift and it becomes this... I think other people start to accept it a little bit more then, but then it's harder... I think it's actually harder for the couple once they've met. Because, yeah, I remember having this feeling of, like... You know, like, I wouldn't say I was going through life feeling incomplete before we met, but, you know, I definitely...
Yes, you were.
Well, sorry, wait. I wouldn't say, like, that I was going through my life feeling like, oh, I had everything... that I was, sorry, complete... But I was fine. I was trucking along. I functioned. I did my stuff, you know, got through life. It was fine. And then, you know, obviously Rich and I have been talking off and on for a long time before we met. And then we did meet. I went home and suddenly I couldn't fucking do anything without feeling like a wreck or just super duper emotional or, you know, whatever. I remember actually, like, either writing it in a journal or texting it to a friend, like, how have I been okay for 23 years and then suddenly after spending a month with someone, I just don't know how to life?
Yeah.
And that was a real struggle for me. And then I know the struggle for you, having been the person... So I came here to visit for the first time. And I remember, like, I went home and suddenly it was just back to my normal life. And it felt like almost like none of this had ever happened.
Yeah, it's not normal life anymore.
Yeah, but then for Rich, it was a different experience because I'd been in his home. I'd been... you know, to his dad's house and met his family. I'd been to restaurants that he and his family went to. So when then, after I left, then he would go back to visit these places. He was like, oh, you know, we went back to that restaurant and I felt really bummed out because the last time I was here, you know, you were here and someone bought you a Pimm's and you got really giggly
and junky.
You know, and so...
And that's the weird thing is because...
Pimm's is a really yummy English cocktail, by the way.
But that's the thing, is like, obviously for you, you've left and you've gone back home. But for me, these places that I've been going to for a long time suddenly have new significance and new memories. So for both parties, it's a big shift.
Yeah, for you, it's like, it's a void because I've been here and now I'm gone. And for me, it's a void because I was going back to my normal life and you weren't there and you'd never been there. And it was like...
And in a way, like meeting, and if you're able to meet...
In a
neutral territory, yeah.
I don't know, because then you can't go back. I don't know. I don't know what's right or what's better. I mean, they're all kind of shitty, you know, because of the circumstances. But, like, I remember when I got home, I wouldn't unpack my suitcase for a couple weeks because, you know, but I'd been staying with you for so long that all my clothes had been washed in the same detergent that yours had. And so my clothes smelled like your clothes and smelled like you, and I didn't want to wear them and then have to wash them and get, you know, lose that, which was a bit silly because I was gone for a month, and so most of my clothes, I was very limited wardrobe while I was doing that. But I think the biggest concerns for me, because I think I was the one that was obviously worrying a lot more, I think you were a bit more, I don't know, you just seemed less fazed by, is it going to work out and stuff? You just seemed a bit more trusting that it would. Obviously, because I knew I was the one that was going to have to move. Not that I had to, but that was, you know, the
it was just the likelihood.
That was the option that we had discussed and seemed most, likely. And so I was really stressed about how that's all going to work. So I think, depending on your situation, yeah, there are a lot more worries in that in-between time. So we've met. Okay, first of all, when are we going to see each other again? And then how are we ever going to close this distance? And those are really big questions. I mean, you know, if you're young and you're working part-time and you've got to buy tickets to, like, England or New Zealand from California, like I did and that listener that I mentioned is, you know, how are you going to sustain that going forward in terms of cost? Can the other person come to you? Are you going to switch back and forth? How's that going to work?
Yeah, and I think flights have always been a big... they're sort of the limiting factor in a lot of cases in how often you can see each other. Because there's obviously time, but just the cost of flight. So explore your options on that. I mean, here it depends, like, yeah, it depends what the options are, but obviously you can earn air miles, you can get credit cards to rack up those mile points. You know, see what what options you've got. And I think that the younger you are, the harder that is, because you're not spending, you know, you're not earning the money. Yeah. We're not saying put yourself in debt for it, but if you're already spending enough money to earn those points, then just look, if you put that spending on a different credit card, would it get them? Don't spend the money just to get them, though.
Yeah.
But obviously, the younger you are and you haven't got that kind of earning power and spending power, then that's harder, and then you're obviously on less money, and you may be in a job that doesn't give you much time off. Like, it's really hard.
Well, so. And talk about your circumstances as well. I mean, when we finally did meet, you know, I was teaching and I had summer vacation off. So I, you know, and Rich had just started his own business, which was doing well, but, you know, it was freelance, so it maybe wasn't as reliable as my, you know, every 2 week paycheck. So it was great that he could get the time off because he was freelance. But at the time, you know, you wouldn't have been able to afford a plane ticket.
No.
But I could.
Yeah.
And then I could stay with your family for free. And, you know, so it's worth talking about these things. It's like, okay, do I need to stay at a hotel? If so, then I can only stay for a few days. You know, if I can stay with your family, if everyone's comfortable with that, or with, you know, with them, if they have their own place, if everyone's comfortable. But, you know.
But I'm a big believer in just work hard for something. Like, you know, if you need a bit of extra money, then get a Saturday job or do some freelance on the side or whatever you need to do. Just earn. Because the thing, if you only need to save up for one thing, which in this case is a plane ticket, so, you know, I don't know, what's that, between 500 and 800 pounds, I guess, maybe. You know what you need to earn. Just figure out, okay, I can earn that in however long it's going to take. You know, but you can probably do that within a few months.
Yeah, I mean, you're selling things on eBay, you know, talking your family into having a garage sale, you know, there's all kinds of things you can do.
Or just go and, you know, be a
working a bar,
waiter or hostess or whatever. Yeah, just if don't, if this is a problem for you, then just take action to at least help reduce it. It's not that you're going to go out the next day and earn all the money you need to buy that ticket, but maybe you can make yourself a little bit more comfortable. Or, because it's not just the cost of the ticket, it's what about when you get there? Do you need spending money? As you said, do you need to stay in a hotel? Because one of our listeners, that was the situation, that their boyfriend was going to come over for the first time, but the family wasn't happy for him to be in the house, so he was staying in a hotel. So that adds costs. Then do you need to, if you're in a hotel, you may need to hire a car. Do you know, there's all these extra costs beyond the flight. And it's just, yeah, I'm a big believer in, if you're able-bodied, able-minded, and you're spending your time watching Netflix or whatever, then just figure out how you can have a little bit more money to just help alleviate that. Because long distance is hard enough. You don't need to just add your own sort of apathy on top of it. It's hard work all around, isn't it? You know, you need to be there for your partner. You need to keep yourself strong. So you're already, I'd say you're already quite mentally strong to do it. So
I think they'll probably, what the person that requested this episode was looking for was kind of how to cope in these times. So obviously we talked about the money and stuff, but the emotional side of it. If you don't know when you can do it again, start talking about that. You know, when could we maybe visit again? And maybe have a couple dates in mind and then start talking about, and I don't mean specific dates, but, oh, I'll come at Christmas. I'll come in the summer. I'll come. And then just start talking about what you're going to do during those trips. So if I do come at Christmas, you know, what seasonal things can we do? Or if I come in the summer, what's it going to be like then? I think, you know, talking about it, even if you don't know for sure when it can happen, is important. And it's, you still know that, even though there's not a definite date on it, you do have something to look forward to.
Yeah.
What else would you kind of add to that?
Well, if you haven't had that first meeting yet...
But the date... This...
I know, the person who requested this has, but not everyone listening has. If you haven't had the first meeting yet, it may be worth trying to think in advance when you can have the second one.
Yeah.
Because then you bypass this whole conversation. You know that... Okay, this is really hard, but I'll be seeing you in 2, 3, 6 months, whatever it might be. In this particular case, when you're back to what feels like square one, I'd say remember that you're not back at square one. You have progressed that relationship. Hopefully, you're both happy with how it went, which is why you're upset that you're not together. So I think then you can start looking at what's next. So yeah, okay, you've got the next meeting, but you can also start, you can be a bit more intense in your thinking long term. Then what did you think about being here? Do you think you could live here? I don't know. You know, you can have those conversations. And I think there's also sort of what our earlier content touched on with date ideas for long distance. I think part of you goes back to that, because presumably before you had that first meeting, a lot of the conversations were talking about that meeting and the excitement. I can't wait to do this. I want to see this. I'm going to take you there. And obviously once you're back home again, that conversation isn't happening anymore.
Yeah, but in a good way to kind of supplement that is to... One thing that we did a lot was we sent pictures that we'd taken together. So, for instance, I'd always wanted to see Hampton Court, and we talked about that in the lead up to it. Oh, I can't wait to go there. And then it was, oh, look, you know, here's a picture of that day. Then we went to Hampton Court, and I remember this happened and this funny thing. And
so maybe we had such a wonderful time. You know, nowadays you can just really easily make a little photo book.
Do you know what I did actually? When I got back, literally the day I got home, back to my parents' house after, you know, having been to England for the first time, I went to like just the drugstore and printed off a bunch of photos from our trip, and I made a scrapbook. And you know, I had kept tons of things from the trip, like leaflets and brochures and like maps from zoos and churches and palaces. You know, we kept everything, tickets from trains and all kinds of stuff. And I made a little scrapbook with everything in order of like from the first day down to the last day. And and that was a really kind of, it was emotional, but it was a cathartic and therapeutic exercise to make that. It was really, I was really sad and crying while I was doing it, but also feeling like, oh, this was great. And yeah, like you, like Rich said a second ago, there was definitely that feeling of like, it is kind of back to square one, but look what's happened. Like we know that we are a great match. We know that these feelings are founded in something beyond this mystery of long distance.
And you have to be conscious, I think, in putting sort of head over heart there, because your heart is going to be saying, oh, I'm just back here, and it's like I've not been away. But you need your head to step in and say, well, we have been away, and we know that it's what we hoped it would be, and we know that we're compatible, and I really enjoyed that, and it's now time to look at what's next.
Yeah, and you need to learn how to be in this part of the relationship, just like you had to learn to be comfortable talking to someone that you had maybe never met before, if your circumstances were like ours. Maybe you met on holiday and then went back to your prospective hometowns. You know, whatever your situation is, you had to learn how to be long distance to start with. And you have to then learn to be at the next level where you've met, probably had sex, probably said you love each other. So you're at a pretty serious stage in a relationship, and now you've each gone back home, or one's gone back home and you're no longer together. And yeah, you need to learn how to be that couple then, because you know, I remember thinking how quickly things would progress for us. Like, yeah, the first step. So from meeting online and talking for the first time to actually meeting was what, like five or six years?
Mm.
We were 17 and we were 23. So yeah, 6 years by the time we finally met. And so that nothing happened really in those periods in terms of progressing where we were. And then suddenly we then met, and then we had about 5-6 month gap of not seeing each other.
It was summer till Christmas.
July until December. Yeah, late July until I think like mid-December. So yeah, that it is a struggle. And apart from all the kind of things you have to tell yourself, like Rich said, you know, it has to be head over heart in some aspects. You need to reason with yourself. But you also really need to find out the best way to be there for the other person. So for me, that was sending lots of suggestive messages to you. And for you, that was being really supportive and reassuring me that we'll figure this out. And then when it was time to start actually figuring it out, when it came to visas and stuff, being very involved in that and helpful. And you really got to be there for each other. And it's a time when you can really even bond further. I mean, we talked about in episode 2, the benefits of long distance, how we really believe that long distance relationships add, you know, an element of deeper meaning to a relationship. Can doesn't mean that if you're not long distance you don't have a deep relationship, but you know, this is your time to really take care of each other from afar and learn about each other and remember, oh, when we're in person she maybe does this little tick, but when we're apart on webcam she does that, you know, whatever. But take that time to get to know each other better. And also when you're apart, because you never really know when when the moment's going to come that you can close the distance, don't abandon your friends and family because you miss your partner so much and you're looking forward to that next visit so much.
Yeah, I mean, so that kind of touched on last week's episode, which was about when you've closed the distance, you know, you've opened up the distance with friends and family, and that was, as we said, another request. But, yeah, I mean, I think be mindful of the fact that you're pining after this person, but what you're working towards is closing that gap, which may mean you moving far away. So, yeah, don't shut out the people that you're going to be moving away from while you're trying to work out how you can move away from them. I think that could be a really hard time for everyone, because your friends and family can start to feel left out and abandoned. Your partner's getting all your attention. And at some point, you know, that's the hard thing about long distances. It's not just the two people involved who get affected by it.
Yeah, I mean, my family's never made me feel guilty for it or even said anything about it. But I think about the number of family dinners that I went out to, or even just, yeah, or, you know, with, even if it was just my parents and I go out to dinner, or if we were visiting family and I was just sitting there refreshing my phone, checking for emails from him. Or sometimes they would say, put your phone down, we're having dinner, but they never made me feel guilty that it was because of you, you know. Or the number of times that I didn't sit down and have dinner with my family when I was living at home because I was up webcamming with you late at night, your time, and I wanted to talk to you. And so I wouldn't go down and have dinner until 7 or 8 o'clock when my parents had already eaten a couple hours before. And, you know, I miss those times and I won't get those back. So could I have maybe twice a week said, hey, you know what, why don't you get to bed early? I'm going to go spend some time with my family. Absolutely. And I probably should have.
The thing is as well, like, that comes from being a little bit older and more sentimental.
Yeah.
And the hindsight of knowing what you miss. You know, we were young, and I think a lot of people in this situation are younger, and you don't really realise that. So take our word for it, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways that's good too, because that, you know, it's always good to leave someone wanting a little bit more of you. And so if you say, hey, you know, my mom made a really nice dinner, I'm going to go, you know, eat with them.
Well, and you know, especially, maybe that's not an issue as much nowadays, because for us, like we've said before, we had to talk essentially in our rooms on our computers with the webcam.
Yeah.
We weren't FaceTiming, Snapchatting from our phones, which you can do now. So maybe it's less of an issue now anyway that you haven't got to leave the room and be isolated to cultivate this relationship.
I mean, we could email from our phones, but that was pretty much
Yeah,
it.
But if we wanted to talk.
Well, people probably don't want to be FaceTiming around their family anyway.
I don't know. Times have changed.
I don't think so.
Yeah, you can send pictures and whatnot.
Yeah, like, you can send snaps of yourself, watching.
We couldn't do that. We couldn't send selfies and whatever to each other.
We could over email, but it was awkward.
It was really awkward. You couldn't just send a
snap, no. No, yeah, you're right. You can sit down for a movie with your family and still snap, oh my God, we're watching this dumb movie, look,
right,
or
yeah.
Whatever, and still be a part of that. But yeah, we didn't have that. I kind of have an email from you saying, hey, I'm going to go watch a movie with my mom and stepdad. I'll talk to you later.
Well, if I was watching a movie and if you were having a hard time, like, I need to talk to you, there's many a films I've left half finished.
Is there?
Yeah, because I had to leave that, come and talk to you. And,
sorry.
You know, so yeah, it's, multiple people were affected through no intention of their own either. You know, like, we chase this and build this, and there are people who are sort of left in its wake to be dramatic about it. So yeah, don't neglect those people. And if you're in this in between time where you've met and you're waiting to see each other again, be mindful of not putting all your eggs in one basket. Don't put all your focus into this one person thing.
We don't mean date other people necessarily.
No. But when you've got a set amount of time in a day and just say, right, I can give this much to this person, I'm going to deliberately give this much to my friends and my family, and don't forget to give time to yourself as well. Like, this is a really big time and a potentially big time of change. So have some time to reflect and think, what do I want? Am I happy to move? Do they have to move to me? I'm not prepared to make that sacrifice. I'm not prepared to do this. I'm happy to do that. You know, really think about it. It's
yeah.
So easy to just go with the motions and the excitement and get swept up, and all of a sudden it's, oh shit, I didn't plan any of this. I'm just here, and am I happy about it?
Yeah, don't get in too deep that you can't see the woods for the trees, basically.
Yeah.
It's also important to remember that you'll feel better if you do make sure that you have time with your friends and family and don't just invest everything in this one person.
Like, for instance, there was a time, it was before we met, but it was leading up to, I think we were going to meet like the following month or something, and you and your family went on holiday to Canada, and we had a very limited contact. We had limited contact during that period because the Wi-Fi, you know, whatever the situation was, it wasn't great. So I was then like really, really stressed in the lead up to that. Like, I remember the tension headaches I was getting.
Yeah.
So basically all I'm saying is, you know, I was probably investing way too much of my focus and time into Rich, which I don't regret because where we are now, I'm very happy with, but yeah, maybe I would have done some things a few things differently. But yeah, if I had had maybe more going on with my friends or more things planned with my family during that time, it wouldn't have left me feeling quite so panicked about, oh, there's going to be this 2-3 week period where I don't really hear from him very much and prepare me a little bit more.
Mm.
And another thing we talked about a little bit earlier about kind of, you had said, knowing if you haven't met and you're planning your first meet, then also start talking about maybe when your second meet's going to be. Yeah, we didn't do that. And so obviously we met in the summer and then I went home and we had no real idea of when we'd be seeing each other again. And part of that was because your family might have been moving at the time. We weren't sure it was going to happen. And then finally I said, look, I'm booking a ticket. Where should I book it for? And we decided, yeah, England, because we'll probably still be here. But then before I even came out, you started looking at, you know, your finance situation and you realized, hey, you know, I've got a big payout coming so I can come back with you after you've been here for Christmas and we can have time. So I think, yeah, plan as far ahead as you can. I think, like we said, yeah, the person that requested this episode, so they don't know when they can see each other again, but just try and plan as much as you can because...
I think that's it. There's two scenarios, really. There's you don't know when you can see each other, and then there's also that you don't know if you can see each other again. If you don't know when, then hopefully that's just a case of planning, and there may be some logistical things to work around, like work and money and whatever. But unless sometimes there may be something actually holding you back from doing it, like you can't get the money, or you've got some state of flux with your family, or you know, you or maybe they're in the military and it's out of your hands when you can see each other. I think also it's so easy to sort of pine and be upset and mope about, like I said before, go back and think, what did we used to do? We used to we used to play games online together, didn't we? But you know, go back to the times of watching a film together or having whatever long-distance date ideas you were...
Well, maybe you didn't do those things before, because I know, like, before you meet, you're just so excited to talk, and there's so much to talk about, and then you might find that then, once you've met, like we said, everything shifts, and suddenly it's now, you're like, the pining, and the, oh my god, we met, and it was so good, and now so we're apart again.
If you didn't do it, then start doing that.
Yeah, start doing those things.
We've got early blog posts and early episodes on date ideas for long distance, and things you can do.
Seasonal date ideas...
Yeah, so, you know, look, just think, what can you do to still... Because just because you're not physically together doesn't mean you can't be present together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's it. It's just being intentional with your time with each other, and also, you know, make the most of your friends and family while they're still around you, you know, in your immediate vicinity, because for a lot of these couples, they won't be.
I mean, something you could even do, we talk about a lot about, like, watching movies over Netflix or something, but... If you're both into, like, maybe a series, like, for instance, you know, the...
Game of Thrones.
Like, Game of Thrones, or, like, I know we're not into Avengers and stuff, but loads of people are. You know, maybe go and see it, if you can. Like, if your time difference isn't too drastic, maybe try and see it
roughly at the same time. We were talking to someone who did that, didn't we? Like, someone was watching it, like, first thing in the morning, and someone was watching it, like,
I think so. I think that's where the idea came to me.
And, do it, because it doesn't have to be... on the minute, like, but if it's been, you know, maybe there would be an hour of starting together.
Yeah, and then, like, our time distance, unless you're, like, in England and Australia, you're probably not going to be more than 8-10 hours apart for the most part.
But then, even if you are, like, if you get to the point where you're 24 hours, that's ideal.
Yeah, that's true.
It's the same time.
Just you're going to have to work around it, but, you know, like, for us, if on a Saturday, if I'd gone to see a first show at, like, 11:30... he would have been seeing something at 7:30. So it would have started my day and then ended his day. And then afterwards you talk about it and it was like, oh, what did you think about this part? And you can almost imagine that you're together because you're doing the same thing at the same time. So yeah, I think you just, yeah, definitely try and find different ways to be together when you're apart, whether it's through, you know, like we said, looking at our long distance date ideas, or maybe have a project you're working on together. We talked about this, I can't remember if it was in an episode or in a blog post, but make something together, whether that's, you know, you could make a picture book online together, you could write a song together, yeah, or something.
Yeah, you can do a lot now. And you've also got those little books you can make together. I got you one, those little cartoon books.
Yeah, those are
but,
cute.
But if you're going to make, like I said before, a little photo book of your trip, you could either do that as a surprise for the person, or you could make that a joint project and you order two copies and you have one each, or
you send
order them one and say, this will be here when you move.
Or, well, no, or maybe, you know, like I printed out all the pictures and got the book and stuff and started making it.
Oh, you're talking about an actual scrapbook. I'm talking about digital.
But you could still do it the old way and send everything to the person. Yeah, they could work on it for a bit. And
also think about how you can just make them feel good. So let's say, you know, somewhere that you went together, go back and buy them a souvenir from there, or take a picture of there and just say, this is from that place we went to, where we had our first kiss, or where we had sex behind that tree, or that tour we went on, you know, whatever it is. But you can, you can do that. I mean, for us, when you tried to teach me long division at Hampton Court and then realised you didn't know long division.
I didn't, it was the wrong numbers I picked. It was no good.
But yeah, so I think we can wrap it up there.
Yeah, I mean, you got to find what's going to work for you individually, but I do think there's, you know, we've been the general guidelines that everyone's going to have to kind of follow. But don't necessarily let, you know, the pain and the struggle of, oh shit, we've met and now I don't know how to life without you take over, because I did, and I got into a really, really bad place emotionally with it, and it almost ended our relationship, really, because I just could not cope, and we were on the phone. I was like, I don't think I can do this. I think we need to break up. And you're like, well, what good's that going to do? Like, you're not going to feel any better, you know? So, I mean,
yeah.
I don't know the answer. Obviously, do as I say, not as I do, because I did a really shit job of that. But from my experience, you know, I can say that I wish I had found different ways to try and cope. And it does suck, but you can do it.
And hopefully there'll be multiple people listening to this that have been in this situation, and if that's the case, then tell us.
Yeah, let us know how you know, you do it.
Because this request came through on Instagram, so comment on this post and people will see it. We can all help people together.
Help us to help you.
To help others.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for tuning in.
Oh, so the people who don't know our Instagram.
Oh.
Is Mr. Mrs. Distance. It's all one word. Mr. Mrs. Distance. And yeah, like I said, we run polls on there, we ask questions, you can help shape episodes, you can request topics, you can also send us an email at longdistancetomarriage.com, and you can
there
also...
There wasn't an email address.
No, that's our website.
Oh, okay, go to our website and message us.
Go to our website, you can find these early date ideas and long distance tips, etc., and you can also send us an email, and that website address is longdistancetomarriage.com. And if you're feeling generous and this podcast has changed your life, you can leave us a review on iTunes so other people can find it.
I thought you were going to ask for money.
Yeah, and you can also send us money, but we haven't got anywhere to send money.
We've got a PO box.
That's true. If you want to send us money, email us. We'll tell you where to send it.
We'll tell you where to drop the bag. Thanks, guys.